The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
We just want to party, party just for you. We just want the money, money just for you. I know you want to party, party just for me. Girl, you got me dancing, dancing shit to bring. We just want to party, party just for you. We just want the money.
That's not crazy. That's my will, my human spirit saying, crush those that would hurt the innocent. Go after the enemy. Build a civilization. Be honorable. Crush the snakes under your feet.
Well, at least now we know what Friday Night Lights would have looked like if they'd given Coach Taylor a nasty PCP habit.
All right, everybody. It got a little confusing right there, but that was Alex Jones speaking. I hope you heard him. But this is Noreen Ehrlich speaking, and welcome to Defiant Hustle Radio, where I have with me today the lovely, the beautiful Kelly Trepanier.
Hey, everybody.
And I also have at the controls over there, Josh. Come on, Josh, speak into the microphone,
wave to me. Hi, guys. What is going on?
Speaking of my anger, the reason we had on Alex Jones, did it come through, Josh?
I mean, yeah, no, people definitely heard it.
You did hear it. Okay, right. The reason we put on Alex Jones today was because he's so angry. He's so angry, and we are wondering why everybody is.
Yeah.
Why is he angry? Well, he may be angry because he's a little nuts, but why is everybody so angry? There seems to be so pervasive in our culture today, this underlying simmering
negativity
and righteousness. So we were wondering what's going on in our society.
And why has anger gone wild in the world lately?
Yeah, so it seems like if you pay attention to the news, which we all can't help but do, you've got everybody angry. You've got women who are furious. Can you play that one?
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow!
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman.
All right, so that's Ashley Judd, the famous Ashley Judd, the actress, and she's a nasty woman, so she's apparently angry. And then we have white male rage, and in this example, we have Brett Kavanaugh, who's being questioned before he gets, as he's going on to the Supreme Court, so you'll recognize this.
His house. He was the great quarterback on our football team. And his dad ran workouts.
Yeah, he's crying at the memory of lifting weights at his friend Tobin's.
It came from the so-called white man.
Indian means savage, brother.
I don't know where you got that from.
Look it up, brother.
I did look it up. I'm a historian.
You'll find it out for yourself.
This is the problem, Israel. There's always our women thinking they can come and distract things with their loud-ass mouth because they're not used to dealing with no real men.
You nigga.
Okay.
All right, so there, that was in front of Washington, D.C., where the indigenous had their first march that was done at the same time as the People's Freedom March. And towards the end of that march, you had black men who identify as Hebrew Israelites that were going off and ranting and attacking indigenous. They were attacking women and continued eventually to go on and attack white men.
This was in Washington, but it was Native Americans that were there just having a march.
Marching for their freedom, for their free land, etc. And then here we have a place that's supposed to be fun that we all generally laugh and enjoy at Six Flags. But here we have two strangers that seem to not be enjoying
Six Flags, Great Adventure. It's buffering. So we're trying to point out just how pervasive it seems, especially if you go onto YouTube or in the news in general, how everybody's hating on each other. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, it's...
Well, to the point that it's like we have haters, trolls, bullying. Here, we're going to listen to this clip right now. So, I mean, to the point that two strangers can be so enraged so quickly that they're to the point that they're in each other's faces, they're ready to attack. We're at a point where, you know, suicide rates in teens are increasing. Haters even have haters. It's become so pervasive. It's imbued in our very psyche. And we're just wondering, where is this coming from and why has it become such an epidemic?
Yeah, it's interesting because everybody seems to have, well, not everybody, far from it, but there's this quiet simmering that people are projecting onto another party. And that can be in the case of race and black and white. It can be, there's this righteousness, and then it's rich and poor and nation versus nation and husband versus wife, and it's... even Jerry Falwell, the preacher, was attacking Ellen DeGeneres, the talk show host, and calling her Ellen Degenerate. And
what shocked me was that this was a time when Ellen was coming out, and Elton John, who's gay, went on to say that she's too gay. It's just, where is this coming from?
Yeah, where is it going to stop, where everybody's picking on the other person and attacking the other person? And so... I found an article written by Charles Duhigg, and it was from the Atlantic magazine, and why is America so angry? And he had done some research, and he says the tenor of our anger has shifted, and we're... Once upon a time, look, folks, we all get angry, right? But we used to get angry, and we'd get triggered by something, and we would... you know, get into a fight with maybe our spouse or we get angry at our kids or our employer. But now it seems to be less episodic and more persistent and constant drumbeat of our lives. And it's less directed now at people we know and more often at distant groups that are easy to demonize. And so these far off targets may or may not have really earned our anger. But either way, we seem to be really invested in making them the enemy. And how without the release of this anger, the anger just keeps building up within us. And this unwanted pressure that we're holding inside ourselves can have a dire consequence, especially in the hands of the wrong people. So it's actually healthy to have the anger come to the surface as a nation, but... if it's going to get in the hands of people who would manipulate that anger and try and use it to try and make somebody else the enemy, then we just have to watch out. So in that same article in The Atlantic, political scientists at Emory University found out that half of voters in 2012 said they were deeply angry about the other party's nominee. But by 2016, nearly half of Republicans believed that Democrats were lazy, dishonest, and immoral, according to Pew Research Center. And Democrats, in turn, thought that more than 70% of Republicans were close-minded, and they were unethical and unintelligent. And then They close the article out by saying, if we're going to diagnose this anger problem as merely a Trump problem, then the whole nation's going to be sorely disappointed when he eventually leaves his post, and we still remain enraged.
Which I loved. That was brilliant. So going on these notes, some statistics pulled from John Fisher, who has a PhD in criminal justice and studies criminology and hate. So pulled from his article on the culture of hate, he spoke about in the year 2000, there were 602 hate groups operating in the United States. And then in 2012, the Southern Poverty Law Center reported that that had jumped to 1,018 hate groups, and then 1,274 anti-government groups. The Federal Bureau of Investigation released hate crime statistics in 2017, revealing a disturbing increase of 17%. So basically, we're just seeing these large jumps, which comes back to the fact that this is becoming less episodic and more persistent in our culture. And I think one of those reasons is potentially the social media and the internet. It's always up there. We can always find this information. It never goes. So like how Kevin Hart used to kind of say very inappropriate things about gays 10
Kevin
years
Hart,
ago,
the comedian,
the actor, yeah. Mm-hmm. 10, 12 years ago that still haunts him today, even though, in my opinion, he's completely vetted himself of that and apologized and moved on in his life. So this persistent energy is definitely fueling anger and hatred in the world. And now we're going to listen to a clip from O'Reilly, the O'Reilly Factor, with Keith Ablow and Paul Booth, who are going to speak to this a little more deeply.
Cyberspace addiction is everywhere. This week, Time Magazine's cover story says that social media has created a culture of hate because people known as trolls use cyberspace to smear and harm anyone they want. That includes giving out personal information. That's known as doxing. The key question, is there a rise in hatred in America because of social media? Joining us now from Chicago, Dr. Paul Booth, who teaches at DePaul University. And from Newburyport, Massachusetts, Dr. Keith Ablow, psychiatrist and Fox News analyst. Dr. Ablow, you're first. Is hatred rising because of social media?
Absolutely, Bill. You know, you and I have spoken about this before. The internet is the medium, and Marshall McLuhan in 1964 said the medium is the message. The internet invites people into it anonymously. It does so via an anonymous technological filter, and therefore it short-circuits empathy. So it favors people who lack empathy, number one, and it threatens to turn just regular folks into less empathetic people as well. So it's doing that.
So O'Reilly and Keith and Paul were discussing how social media platforms have increased. But what I wanted to actually have a skip into the next clip and then really come back and speak to this more fully.
This is in the journalism community. Now, Dr. Booth, you know this Leslie Jones who was in Ghostbusters? Is that her name, Leslie?
Yeah.
Okay. The actress, right?
Yeah.
Now, people on the internet actually almost broke the woman, almost gave her a nervous breakdown because of all the attacks that she had to endure. She finally got off it, all right, but it harmed her dramatically. And the people who did it out of fun, spite. I mean, this woman's never done anything to anybody. She was just in a movie. And when I saw that, I mean, it was sickening.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely horrible. But I'm going to have to say that I don't think social media is the cause of hatred. I think hatred has always existed. People have always hated each other. Social media maybe brings it out in certain ways. But
it makes it more acceptable, though,
does
it not? Doesn't it make it more acceptable? Didn't there used to be social boundaries?
So, again, that was O'Reilly talking about Leslie Jones, who is the actress on the new Ghostbusters.
She's on Saturday. She's a comedian.
She is
on Saturday Night
But that,
Live.
This particular incident was after the new Ghostbuster movies had come out. And everyone had taken to her page and was just attacking her appearance, her acting, just like going off for no apparent reason. And so I do have to agree with Paul here. I don't believe hatred has originated from social media, but it might have definitely increased because of this platform and sticks around longer because of it. But I feel it's originated from something far deeper. I mean, there's this primal energy that's in the root of our psyche. And so what's fascinating to me is, like, it's people get off on it. Why are we getting so stuck to, like, this is a complete stranger. She has nothing to do with your life. And yet you want to just rip her apart, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting that people are sitting home, I guess. Josh, have you ever gone onto the internet and commented on somebody else's anything that they put out negatively?
Like trolled somebody?
Well, I don't know.
I haven't commented negatively on anybody's posts. I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I'm not on social media.
Oh,
and
right.
I'm also pretty even keeled.
Uh-huh. I had somebody come onto my post, and actually just a few weeks back onto, I put things out on social media for anybody who follows me. And I was home in bed with the flu. This was in February. And I look at my post in this, it's a woman in town that I know is going off on me about, first about one of the guests, Alex Bergstein, the senator, and then she's going off on me about whether I actually know what I'm doing in my business and about my fancy red sports car, which isn't red. But anyway, I was like, really? I'm like laying in bed with the flu dying and mm-hmm. I'm getting attacked by some local woman who's just on a tangent.
What does this have to do with your life, and how is this person living their life completely separate to yours and not impacting your day-to-day existence at all, taking up so much time? It's like, you know, there's this quote, there's a tiny voice in the back of our minds. And where is this coming from if it's creating this hatred? And is it this inner critic that's stemming just from our own pain? For me, what I've noticed is that it's addictive. People, like, it's a frenzy. There's piranhas
right.
that are just
we
going
all have
mad.
Like, this negative, we all have it, so I don't want to talk about it as if it's something that anybody in this room is separate from. We all have such a voice inside of us, the inner critic, it gets referred to a lot of the time as, that's so, it's just constantly saying something to you about either yourself or somebody else that you can get very much caught up in its story. If you're not awake, if you're not alert to it, it'll start, like mine will start going, oh, well, you're going to leave your, you know, you're going to go out looking like that today, or, you know, or you're not, that's not very intelligent thing to say, or how are you going to do this? But it's got such a powerful impact in our lives, and I think it's been there for generations,
mm-hmm.
That we really all have to be on alert for that voice within that's really trying to sabotage our success, but also catch ourselves as we're going along in life, and with that voice inside you starts to bring you down into a downward spiral, where you start blaming other people in your life, whether that's your spouse, your boss, your husband, your kids, for really for your anger, instead of realizing that anger maybe coming from within.
You brought up a really good point in the beginning of the show where your anger is not bad. Anger is a healthy emotion. It's a part of the human experience. And so anger often does come from this kind of spiraling down and having this negativity. So it's like we do want to promote a voice and say that we understand it. We understand people get triggered. So, like, imagine this. I'm a qualified woman in my company, and I've been working there for 7 years, and an upcoming promotion is available. And it's not given to me. It's given to an underqualified male who's been in the company for 2 years, who's already has a greater salary than I do.
Uh-huh.
Of course I'd be pissed off. Of course I'd want to speak up about it. Of course, after that experience, if I saw other women going through it, or I saw a company get revealed that they were doing that, then I would jump on their page and I'd speak out about it. And so it's like, anger is not bad. That's not what we're trying to say. But it's like, when does it get to be too much? When do you cross that line from speaking up about yourself, from healing, to actually becoming a hater and actually hurting other people and going too far on the spectrum?
I went on to, let's see, where we were getting our statistics. The Southern folks, if you do have access to a computer, it is interesting to go on to the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they're tracking, there's a map there, and it'll track just where there is considered to be hate groups. And I had to go on to look how a hate group is defined, and it's basically a group that stands for hatred and attack against anything that is nationality, gender, sex, religion, mm-hmm. anything out there, and they form into some mass to try and put that other
group down.
Group down, yeah, mm-hmm. and it is really scary that it's on the rise. So I am curious. Why do we think this is on the rise right now? We're showing that it's gone up. The hate groups have gone up since 2012. It's Trump maybe bringing it to the surface, but something else is going on within the people that's making them so angry. So I don't know, Josh. Do you have any thoughts on what do you think? There's so many people stepping out very righteously, no less.
Well, I mean, I definitely think that the fact that social media exists is a huge contributor, because you have a platform where you're giving literally billions of people access to say whatever they want with little to no consequences. Because what is actually going to, if somebody insults somebody, right, like they're saying it through a screen. It's not like they have the ability to actually go and say it to their face. So that gives people more confidence. And when people
and
get confident,
freedom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like that just gives somebody this sense of, I guess you could say, power that they artificially possess.
Right. So it does come down to some sort of, because even if they're not doing it online, there must be some desire to be.
It's very little times do you see it actually in person. It's usually over text message. It's usually over Facebook. Instagram, Twitter, like that's where the majority of this, like,
right. And I feel it helps give people power. In that instance, they feel like they had a voice, people were listening, and they got power over the other. And it's, you know, if you've consistently felt less than, had pain in your body or victimized,
right,
it can get really addictive to feel that power, and you want to kind of keep going.
And there's like this term that people used to say the word socialite, but now it's really like social media influencer. And like that just like really like is kind of ridiculous. Like people who have like thousands and thousands of followers who will basically just act like sheep to whatever they say and mm-hmm. do.
Oh, to the influencers.
Kind of like what Alex Jones has this site called InfoWars that people mm-hmm. just like dig
right.
their claws into, and they just absorb whatever information he says. And not a lot of it's factual, but they believe it because he is, I guess, such a charismatic guy to them. But like,
well, and that's the epidemic, is like fake news is rampant in our world, and even putting fake news out can get so many people enraged and like go on for years of like this war of against the flat earth and the round earth and dripping fluoride and all sorts of stuff into our water. It's just kind of crazy that even fake news can get people stuck in this tangent
in a story mm-hmm. where if a lot of times you're not conscious of the anger you have inside of you, or that the feeling that you've been victimized. And so when somebody comes in and tells you you're being victimized, you come in
right.
and you go, yeah. And well, so even if it's a moron like Alex Jones, you actually start buying into it because it's appealing to some part of you that feels unheard.
Sure.
Okay.
And another thing that I just wanted to say is like the thing that social media has actually, what I believe, done to my generation is we've become like hypersensitive in terms of like when somebody says something that like we don't agree with, or somebody says something towards us in a negative way, we take it to be real. Do you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. You take it personally.
Exactly. We make it extremely
it.
Personal and we get triggered. And I think that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, when people were insulted, like they were able to brush it off in a much easier way. But when people write it on an Instagram post, you know what I'm saying? And then mm-hmm. say like you have 1,000 Instagram followers, and like one person writes and makes an ugly comment on your post, and all 1,000 other people see that, like that's just going to get into your psyche, mm-hmm. and that's going to make you actually believe that what they're saying is true, even though it's not.
Right. And it brings up this really interesting idea of that in culture, and what we've been talking about on the with the O'Reilly factor, is that all this has kind of increased because of social media, and that people are becoming less empathic and kind of numb. And so their emotional outlet and connection are through these mediums. these outside sources rather than the actual face-to-face personal connection.
Well, the social media.
So it's like these strangers are actually kind of becoming their worlds. They're becoming their pick-me-ups,
right,
and who they cry to. And so when you get attacked on it, it kind of – it's almost being attacked by your family times a thousand.
It's the one in video from O'Reilly Factor that we didn't get to, but his guest was talking about how social media has helped us or created a loss of connection and empathy so that we just are disassociated from the pain that we're causing other people. So when we come back, we're going to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can start to get conscious, because at the end of the day, if we don't each take responsibility for our own issues and the stories that we buy into individually, then we're going to get caught up in other stories that people are creating for us that may or may not be healthy for us. So we're going to get into that when we come back. This is Noreen Ehrlich. This is Defy and Hustle, and we'll be right back. Come on.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, we're looking at a 34-minute ride now from Greenwich up to Norwalk with delays southbound on the turnpike from Exit 3 down to the state line. Northbound Merritt Parkway from the state line up to Route 7, a 24-minute ride. 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. I'm Jay Trelakes, 1490 Traffic.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Increasing cloudiness, lows 30 to 35 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with rain moving in. Highs 45 to 50. Periods of rain tapering to showers late tomorrow night. Lows 36 to 42. And Friday, partly sunny. Rain showers redevelop in the afternoon, mid-40s. At Connecticut Basement Systems, they're the experts in all things basementy, fixing wet, musty, leaky, and damp basements. Call 866-948-8111. I'm meteorologist Brian Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over 2 decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, we're looking at a 34-minute ride now from Greenwich up to Norwalk with delays southbound on the turnpike from Exit 3 down to the state line. Northbound Merritt Parkway from the state line up to Route 7, a 24-minute ride. 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. I'm Jay Trelakes, 1490 Traffic.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
First official evening of spring. Clouds will be on the increase for tonight. Lows 30 to 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, rain moving in, especially by the afternoon, highs 45 to 50. Periods of rain tapering to showers overnight tomorrow night, lows 36 to 42. Friday becoming partly sunny, rain showers redeveloping in the afternoon, breezy and cooler, the high around 45, partly sunny, breezy, low 40s Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brian Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed, maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over 2 decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry.
where I help start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at noreenerlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173. Hi, everybody. It's Noreen Ehrlich, and you're listening to Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm here in the studio with my colleague, Kelly.
Kelly.
And also our producer, Josh.
What's going on?
And Josh, are we still? And before we get on, we're having a discussion tonight, folks, about the cultural and personal voice that's so negative nowadays, and really just trying to bring it into our awareness of what's going on before we get manipulated by it and what we can start to do about it. But I wanted to let you know there's a place I signed up for in January that I found here in town. It's called OsteoStrong, and they have two locations right now. They're starting more, but they have one location here in Greenwich and one even larger location in Darien. It's called OsteoStrong, and it's really interesting because it's bringing together medical growth and technology and really working with people that are a little bit older around osteoporosis. So OsteoStrong is here in Greenwich on Putnam Avenue, and they're having an event, and they'd like people to attend. There's only room for 20. It's a morning event. The afternoon event is sold out at this point, but it's really interesting because there's four machines in there, and instead of having to go work out at the gym for an extended length of time, you can go and use your own body weight to really build up your bones, and the machines will track your progress, and it only takes about 10 minutes. And at this event, they're going to talk to you a little bit more about their offerings for at OsteoStrong, and also they'll be doing free bone scans, so free bone density scans. So if you go onto Eventbrite, you can get tickets. They're absolutely free, but they're going to explain to you and present to you how to load your bones with over 4.2 times your body weight easily. And it is easy because I do it myself and I can see my strength building up. And how to learn to fight osteoporosis naturally and faster than with pharmaceuticals or having to go to the gym and spend a lot of time lifting weights at this point. So check it out, a complimentary bone density scan during the event. And the event is Monday, March 25th, that's this coming Monday, at 9 a.m. at the OsteoStrong at 116 East Putnam Avenue here in Greenwich. So take a look at that on Eventbrite. So
Coming back in,
we're talking about something less wonderful than that, but something that is, well, I think it's a good thing that some of the negativity that is in each of us and that is has become a cultural phenomenon. We were looking up a lot of stories and they were calling it the culture of hate. Mm-hmm. But that it's coming to the surface because when I'm coaching people, and Kelly, you and I have done a lot of work and I'm coaching people, but we've done a lot of self-work and I've spent years and years trying to really understand how to improve myself and now turned around and really work with other people. But one of the things you do want to is for the negativity to come up out of your unconscious so that you know it's there, mm-hmm. so that you can start to do something to understand what part of you has been
hurt and that's kind of maybe repressed. Creating the hate. Yeah. You brought up a question earlier before the break of just like, why do you think all of it's coming up to the surface? And my opinion would probably be really different than a lot of people. And I do try to always see the positive aspect in things. But having this kind of inner introspection, self-awareness background, it really is this age of transparency where it's like everything is just getting dumped out of us, and it's hard and it's uncomfortable. It's like a detox. It's right. All the crap you don't want to look at, but right. You feel so great once it's out of you. And it's almost kind of like it's a crazy time, and when you look at it and when it's overwhelming and it really does feel like nothing's getting better, but it's kind of intriguing and makes me think something is getting better. All these voices out, we've never had this degree of equality and awareness. And if you've been suppressed for so long, like this woman, let's just say, that I gave an example of being overqualified and not getting the raise, and let's just say her voice was always suppressed for all these years, like women's voices have been, it makes sense that they'd want to feel all this anger and speak up and get it out of them. And in doing so, it empowers them. But sometimes the pendulum swings too far into hatred. Now we're kind of having this question, like, well, where is it all originating from? Because we can't keep sitting out and blaming and attacking everybody if we want to see change. That's definitely something I would like to know more about, of like, how can I at least improve it in my own reality so that I don't see the same disasters and patterns playing out.
When you hear my commercials about the 50-minute consultation, when people come to see me, one of the first things I do is, of course, listen to where they are and why they're coming to see me. But I have them tell me a story of where they'd like to be this time a year from now. And when I talk to them about who they are and I put them into that place, what's going on? Everything's going wonderfully in your life. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. They start to tell a wonderful story compared to the story that they told me when they first came in, when they were feeling very victimized about something and feeling stuck. And it's interesting how much this voice within us, this negative voice within us, has control over the story we're telling ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
And how once you have a story in your mind about, let's say, you know, one of my clients, she thought her husband thought she was stupid. So no matter what she did and no matter what he did, she always interpreted it as him thinking she was stupid, even though that might have been as far as I'm concerned, it was her own inner voice that keeps perpetuating circumstances that feed your story and make it more and more true. So
for
it really takes a lot of consciousness to catch yourself and say, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Is that really true?
It's a way to story,
break.
Yeah.
Yeah, is this story
an actual truth? Yeah, or is this just my personal belief?
Right.
Based
my boss
off of pain and
passed
you know.
Over me, and your example of the woman getting passed over.
Mm-hmm.
She might be getting angry, but in another way, she may have to say, "Well, is it really true that I was passed over because I'm a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Woman?
True.
Maybe the story's not
true. Yeah.
But she's becoming enraged or
yeah.
But
and basically kind of. What I think you're alluding to is our beliefs. Basically, life is going to validate our story.
It's always going to validate
your
story.
If we are going to stay in the victim, if we're going to stay in the anger, we're always going to see that perspective in the world and always get bombarded by it. So when does it all stop? And it's like, and how can we tell that difference between when it's just natural observation and judgment compared to like, I'm a hater and being a troll? You know, when is it going overboard?
Oh, that we were talking when you and I were putting this together. I was trying to make tonight's show where you actually could come away with it, with some way to slow that inner negative voice down. And I just wanted to point out to people, there's a difference when you're observing something and when you're judging it. So what we have to watch out for here is when we're judging ourselves negatively or judging other people, and at least stop to consider when you're judging somebody else, the difference between judgment and observation is that observation, it doesn't have emotions attached to it. You're actually watching something happen and you're restating the fact that you're seeing something happen. But when you're getting angry about it, you really have to stop and ask yourself, what am I so angry about?
And is it this person or is it also something that I'm not owning up or doing myself?
Right. And there may be something that's not to negate that this person may be doing something that you need to step up and say something about.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the woman, she may want to go to her boss and say, look, I really thought I was going to get that promotion. So is there something here I need to understand?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just repressing that keeping that thought inside that she got passed over because she's a woman, and then repressing that voice and holding it in because that.
And then eventually, if you've repressed it for too long, attacking just men in general for no reason.
So I do think the common theme here, whether it's happening individually or happening on a cultural way, is repression. And when people are feeling repressed, or when the parts, you know, we have different parts of ourselves active at the same time, voices within. When you start to get upset about something, you really shouldn't ignore it. You should go in and examine it, because otherwise you're repressing the parts of you that may need you to acknowledge them and do something differently than you've been doing it before.
I think it's the time. I mean, it is. Let's get honest and real with ourselves in our reality. So it's like, we can all be honest with ourselves right now. We know the difference when we're just observing in natural judgments compared to being a hater and really going overboard. The inner critic goes way, way too far. It throws hit after hit. It scolds. It shames. It's nitpicking. It's fault finding. It's big and powerful. It wears down your mood, your resilience, your self-worth. Well, when we're just naturally observing and making small judgments, it's ineffective. They help. It's the stuff that helps guide us through our life and make decisions. So it's like, where does this all stop? And it is in this honesty. It's becoming conscious. It's taking the time to say, what am I suppressing? And own up to it. And we're going to go into a clip here with Jordan Peele, who's an awesome actor, comedian, writer, producer, director. You guys might know him best from his film Get Out and his newly released mystery that I want to check out, but I'm a little too afraid, the movie Us. So we're about to hear a clip where he's acting as a teenager on a school campus bullying one of his classmates.
Why you gotta bother me, man?
Because I'm not doing very well at school. I'm reading at a third grade level. I really don't want to get left back. So when I see somebody reading for fun, it makes me feel that much more stupid. And then I get mad.
I didn't know that. Thanks so much for opening up to me.
Shut up, queer.
I don't understand. Why you gotta go there?
I've been having sexual fantasies about some of the other guys at school.
What?
Give me that. I'm afraid of these feelings and what they might mean. It's like, because I hate myself so much, I gotta point that hate outward towards you.
All right. I so love that clip. Jordan Peele gives such a perfect example through acting of kind of where the bullying can originate from. Sometimes I've even noticed it in myself when I've gotten the most defensive and kind of feeling these, I'm going to attack someone. It's often because I'm feeling pain and fear. Maybe it's insignificance. Maybe it's I feel embarrassed. And I'm just trying to avoid those feelings because I'd rather avoid that hurt and pain because it's so much easier to go out and just attack the person in front of me. But if I take this time to be conscious about it, if I take this time to say, hey, there's a mirror in front of me, these feelings are mine. What you feel is yours. You have to take ownership of your life, especially if you want anything to change in your life. And so I love that video because it's like, well, why are you attacking me for reading at school? Oh, because I can't read and you make me feel like an idiot when I see you being smart, basically. It's just a clear example of how we're going to make this change is just honesty and focusing inwards.
Right. No, it's just, sorry, we don't mean to come in. I just wanted to bring this to our attention. I don't know when Kelly and I were talking about what to talk about this week, but every time I read the news or put on any new shows or everything seems so, I don't know, there's like a cadence to the way people speak to us now that it does have a frequency. It will suck you in, and it really takes a lot of self-awareness and consciousness to not get caught in other people's story of why you should be scared. Mm-hmm. We've done other shows about anxiety and how pervasive that is. It really is time for us to just stay conscious when that voice comes up within us. And I know mine really comes up when I'm overtired, to just even be aware that there's some aspect of yourself that's feeling crappy and at least don't let it take control of the ship, that you have to really let the the part of you that can see that part of you, you know, mm-hmm. like your higher consciousness, see that this other part of you is feeling crappy and not buy into its story, because that negativity, the ego, as Eckhart Tolle would call it, the ego wants to separate you from other people and wants you to be afraid. So it will start to tell you a story about how you have been victimized. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to fall into the rabbit hole.
Oh, it's so sticky. I mean, when we were kind of going over this show, I brought up, I used to live in Hawaii, everybody. And the Hawaiian word for drama is pilikia. And there's a saying, you know, when pilikia starts, when you start noticing that you're going down that rabbit hole and you're getting angry, you have 7 seconds to diffuse it before that's it. You've gone down the rabbit hole and you're stuck in that story. And basically you're screwed in this, you know, for however long it plays out. So it's like, if you can dismantle that thought and that belief within the first moments of it arising, you can kind of go down a different path, create a new story for you. Don't attack the person in front of you. And this just isn't easy. I mean, it's a primal energy that comes out of us to defend our personality and our beliefs. And it takes time. Sometimes it takes years to kind of really slow down and just listen. Hey, what's actually going on? But it can start just with that question.
Right. You have more power over it. It's described as we are coming out of the age of physical exercise and really spending time at the gym and working out all our muscles. And now we're going into the age of emotional exercise. And mm-hmm. it takes time to catch yourself falling into old patterns and wake up, even in that little second that you get that you go, oh, crap, here I go again, just to at least catch yourself. It's a muscle, and you got to work yourself out of old patterns by staying conscious and catching yourself each time and trying to break your story. I don't know, for those of you who are listening who know who Eckhart Tolle is. Do you know who Eckhart Tolle is? He is a contemporary spiritual teacher. He's not aligned with any religion, but he's the author of multiple books, but the most famous of them being The Power of Now. And it's not like a novel that you sit down and read. It is something, I think, that comes to your attention as you start mm-hmm. to wake up. But he's asking in the book, how do we drop the negativity? And he says something, you drop the negativity by dropping it. It needs to be transmuted, meaning it's in there. And if you're always feeling like nobody's paying attention to you, or that you're not appreciated, or you're not loved, or that people think you're stupid, then you have to stay conscious and either stop what you're doing. So stop what you're doing, or speak to the person that you're concerned about this with and express fully what you feel, or drop the situation out of your mind. So it sounds easy, and in some ways it is easy. It is, I'm either going to do something about this and mm-hmm. I'm going to go speak to somebody, or I'm going to drop it. Because mm-hmm. he's talking about the power of now, staying present, which we never do. And the ego goes backwards and goes into the past and gets you upset, or it goes into the future and gets you upset. Mm-hmm. But if you can just stay present in the situation and say, okay, I have a choice right now. I can either go speak to somebody and do something about it, or I could make a choice not to go speak to that person, but at least you're taking control of the situation in the now. So, you know, and then the other thing is people we're not becoming adults fully. And so one of the things we talk about is embracing our situation instead of ignoring it and letting each day go by. So when I put out the social media post, I was like, are you stuck again? And are you the same negative situations playing out in front of you? And how can you embrace reality and deal with it? Embrace reality and deal with it. And so many people are going nowhere because they just won't deal with what's directly in front of them mm-hmm. like an adult. And so there's a book called The 12 Rules of Life, and it's by acclaimed clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson. And he said, before you go out and start judging other people, you better clean up your own house. And so I just wanted to, in these last minutes we have here, talk to people. If you just consider your own circumstances for a second, have you taken full advantage of some of the opportunities that are right in front of you in your life? Have you? Oh, Are you working hard on your career or on your job? Or are you letting bitterness and resentment hold you back and drag you down? And are you treating – these are just little things you could do to improve your life. Because if folks, if you woke up every day and said, I'm just going to improve the one thing that I know that I could improve, your life would start to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like if you're – I've always noticed this in myself, and that's how I should speak. So it's like you gave the – are you working hard on your career or your job, or are you letting bitterness and resentment hold you back? I've noticed when I am working hard on my career and I see other people, my peers that are gaining success, I get excited for them and I get supportive and I'm in their corner. But I notice that when I'm not working on my career or when I've fallen into a slump and I see my friends getting promotions or their new startup launching, that I do. I get a little like, ugh. And it's because there's that pain because I'm not addressing what I should be doing. So when you really look at these questions and take action on them, they can start to improve your life and also diffuse some of the resentment, bitterness, anger that we might hold.
Are you treating your spouse and children with dignity and respect? Do you have habits? I know I've got a Coca-Cola right in front of me. Do you have habits that are destroying your health and well-being that you could change today?
Do you, Josh?
Are you truly shouldering your responsibilities as an adult? Have you said what you needed to say to friends and family? Are there things that you could do that you know would change your life for the better? Have you cleaned up your life? So there are things you can start to do today to break out of your habit of negativity. And you know what they are. You know what they are, and you just have to start to take action on them. And that requires being responsible.
We're not here to preach, but to really share. And this has just been such a fascinating topic for the both of us. Of like, wow, there has been so much hate around, but it's not all bad news. There's awakening still taking place in the world. And so we're going to listen to the last clip by Jordan Peele.
Oh, we don't have time for it.
I got to talk about our next guest.
Guest.
So we can't hear it, but it is just about talking about introspection. And we're basically hoping this conversation ignites some introspection and just looking at how we're responsible for our life.
Yeah. Sorry, it was a fun clip. And check out Jordan Peele because he's very cool. But anyway, if there's something in your life that you want to improve, just go and improve it. Mark Whitaker, you may think you know his name. It's not the Mark Whitaker that's in Trump's administration. But next week, folks, go out and watch the movie that Matt Damon starred in called The Informant. It's available, I believe, on Netflix. Because next week, we are going to have on Mark Whitaker. Matt Damon played the role of the informant. He played Mark Whitaker in this movie. And Mark Whitaker was the original whistleblower. He was the president of the bioproducts division of Archer Daniels Midland, the global food processing and commodities trading company. And he was the president, but he blew the whistle. He contacted the FBI and let them know that there was price fixing going on related to lysine. And so the FBI came in and he wore a wire and ultimately he ended up going to jail.
Mm-hmm. But it still built his career back.
He did. Mm-hmm. And so this is behind him. But he's going to come on the show next week. He's going to be calling in. And it's an amazing story. That's why there was a book. And then Steven Soderbergh and Matt Damon did the movie about him. And he's phenomenal. So check out our show next week when we have on Mark Whitaker, the original whistleblower and the informant. And he's going to talk about how he came out and how what he's doing now to really help the world be a better place and how cool his life has been ever since he got out of jail.
Thanks for joining us,
Thanks
everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Defiant Hustle, folks. We'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
The station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Home for business talk online at biztalkradio.com.
McCain bashed, then defended, no rate hikes. And Barbara Cusack. Again, President Trump made it clear he did not like the late Senator John McCain. Trump told workers at a tank manufacturing plant in Lima, Ohio, that he helped McCain late in his life.
I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay.
Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson told Georgia Public Radio no one should disparage any military veteran.
There aren't Democratic casualties and Republican casualties on the battlefield. There are American casualties. And we should never reduce the service that people give to this country.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the current economy calls for patience, signaling the Fed will not hike interest rates this year.
The federal funds rate is now in the broad range of estimates of neutral, the rate that neither tends to stimulate nor to restrain the economy. As I noted, my colleagues and I think that this setting is well suited to the current outlook and believe that we should be patient in assessing the need for any change in the stance of policy.
Following two crashes involving Boeing 737 MAX jets, Europe and Canada vowed to carry out their own reviews of the airline's changes to a key flight control system. By not taking the FAA's word, alterations called for are safe. Such a move will likely delay the resumption of flights by the Boeing 737 MAX.